Grandma's Garden does not endorse products, services, publications, medications, or treatment. Opinions expressed by Grandma or her guests are simply that, their personal opinions. They do not reflect endorsement as to the quality of any product, service, publication, medication, or treatment, or the validity of the individual's claims.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grandma's Garden Party, where nobody is ever told to sit down, shut up, and pay attention. It is Thursday, November 5th, 2015. It's approximately 9:31 in the morning. My name is Pam Glidden, and I am your host for this show. It currently, where I live, is 52 degrees this morning, so a little warmer than yesterday because it was down in the 30s yesterday. Our predicted high for today is 52. Our low is 42. And they tell me it's going to be cloudy with a 50% chance of rain today. And I believe it because when I look outside right now, it's nothing but gray sky. We've had a lot of that lately, but we've needed it, so it isn't too horribly bad. So, before I go on with all of my regular announcements, I hope you all can hear me. Let me check in the chat room just to see. Ann, could you give me a thumbs up or something if you can hear me? As if we haven't had enough problems, and I thought I had them all taken care of, this morning I dialed in to start the show, and all of the sound was really hushed, like they were whispering. And I, you know, it just suddenly dawned on me, I've been doing this show for over 6 years with the same pair of headphones all that time, and it's, I think, time to replace them. Because, and then I panicked. Then I thought, well, great, I've already got the show up, and now I can't talk to them. And then I realized I can call in over the phone, which will be a little bit inconvenient because I won't be able to really participate in the chat room because I'm not real good at juggling the phone and typing at the same time. But that means this next week I'm going to have to go out and get a new pair of headphones. Oh, boy. Not an expense that I wanted right now, but that's all right. I guess, you know, what the heck. I can't really complain because I certainly have gotten my money's worth out of it after all these years and doing the show weekly. So, but hopefully that will then, oh, now what? Jeez Louise. If it's not one thing, it's another. I'm telling you. Phone solicitor call on my cell phone. Okay. So from Rhode Island, no less. Okay. And I love it. You know, I'll answer those and hang up immediately just to frustrate the bejeebers out of them. Okay. So let's see. Regular announcements. In the chat room, on the right-hand side of your screen, is a blue box. At the top of the box, it says Fly Lady. In fact, it says Fly Lady twice. The real Fly Lady is not in there. She allows me to use her Blog Talk Radio account, so I don't have to pay cold hard cash to do this show. And so consequently, when I log in to her account as her, and that's why it shows her in there. It's me. So I just didn't want to fool anyone. I didn't want you wondering, you know, if you're like trying to message her, why she's not answering. Excuse me. I just wanted to be up front. Okay. Please make sure you have a healthy snack and a cool drink of water handy. I've got my Fly Lady steel water bottle sitting right here full of ice water because I have, my husband finished moving us finally, and lots of boxes. The last room to come to this new house was my office. So lots of papers. Oh, excuse me, lots of papers, old, dusty papers that have been in file cabinets and stacked. Lots of books that, again, have been in bookcases and not necessarily, well, especially over the last year, year and a half, not been dusted. And so I've been going through, oh, excuse me, just a minute. Going through a few boxes, two or three boxes every day until the last couple days, trying to get stuff organized. My desk is here now, my file cabinet, my bookcase, and my office is starting to look like a real honest-to-goodness office. But I have raised so much dust that that nasty cough I've had has come back. And so I'm going to have to get rid of that again. Okay, now, if you'd like to call in during today's show for whatever reason, the number to call is 646-716-9791. Now, if you're calling just simply to listen over your phone instead of, like, over the computer, you don't have to do anything else. Just dial that number, 646-716-9791. If you're calling because you have a question or you want to speak to me, once your call has been answered by the automatic system, you need to press the number 1 button on your dial pad, only if you wish to speak to me. That should then trigger a flag on my switchboard, letting me know that I need to pick up that call. And hopefully I will recognize that signal. It's been so long since I've seen one, I'm not sure what they're using now. Okay, if you would like to participate in the chat room, Blog Talk Radio requires that you register for a free listener's account. All you have to do is go to http://www.blogtalkradio.com. And that's Blog Talk Radio, one big, long, run-on word. There's no dots or dashes or anything between it. Once you get to that website, they will get you set up with a username and a password. Make sure, if you have ADHD like me, you write that down and keep it in a safe spot so that the next time you want to come back for any show on Blog Talk Radio, you're able to participate. And oh, by the way, everything that I've just told you is already entered in the chat room. All of the links are there, so all you have to do is just click on them. Now, I sometimes, during a show, will share some of my favorite resources, and I have compiled those into a list and put them online at http://onasinnigel.fb/me/G(G)H(V)Y and a lowercase k. I also have a fan page for the show on Facebook, and that can be found at http://onasinon.fb/Facebook.me/Y(Y)Sy(Sam)F(F)Frank)B(B), the numeral 9, and a capital K. We're almost done. The big chat window, if you prefer that to the little one, can be found at http://bitom.ly/1, O, when the rest of these are all lowercase letters, O, K, C as in car, A, Z as in zebra, F as in Frank. All right, that's it for all of the links. Now, what else do we have here? Nope, that one I've already covered. Okay. All right. Now, the only other thing that I wanted to be sure and remind you of is that the annual International CHAD Conference is coming up next week already, November 12th through the 14th of this year in New Orleans, Louisiana. And let me tell you, it has been very tough the last couple weeks, almost emotionally wrenching after all of these years to sit here and watch all of my CHAD friends chatting and excited and making plans to get together at conference and knowing that I won't be there. At the same time, knowing that physically I'm really not up to it anymore, especially for that far away. But every fiber of my being wants to be there. Oh, gosh. No, I wasn't going to do this. Anyway, I know they're going to have a wonderful time, and I'm going to enjoy hearing about it. It's just tough knowing that I won't be there. After, what, 20 years, this is only the second one that I'll miss. But I have other things going on here next week anyway that I need to be here for. I have one of my husband's older brothers is celebrating his 70th birthday a week from this Saturday, and his wife has planned a surprise birthday party for him. And the oldest brother, who is in his 80s, I believe, is coming over from Spokane, Washington, so clear across the state, coming over the mountain pass. I'm shocked he's even attempting to drive it, rather than, you know, getting someone else, a relative or someone younger, to drive him. But he's coming. He and his wife are coming over. They're going. They've got a hotel room reserved in the town that I live in. My husband and I went and checked out the hotel, made sure it's a nice, clean place and isn't in a noisy spot. And actually, it's in a lovely spot. He and his wife are coming over. They'll be here if they come, if they don't back out at the last minute. As she keeps saying, they will be here next Thursday and be staying until Sunday. They'll head home probably Sunday morning. So we're pretty excited. We're trying to get the house squared away with all these new boxes full of stuff and get things cleaned up and, you know, the way we want it to be to show it off. And on top of that, I finally heard back from my eye doctor and my eye surgery. Of course, they called and they started talking about, let's get this done. Let's get it out of the way. And I'm thinking, oh, good, I'm going to have to go to the birthday party with who knows what, a black eye, two black eyes. But no, they were kind enough to wait until Thanksgiving week. So the week after our guests leave, I will go in. I have to be there at 8:10 in the morning, an hour's drive away from here, so we'll have to leave here by probably 7 in the morning. Can you tell how thrilled I am? This means I'm going to have to get up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock so I can get my shower in and get properly awake before I have to leave. But I have to be there at 8:10 and to get numbed up and everything, and then an hour later they will do my surgery. And they tell me that doesn't even take 15 or 20 minutes. And so, I mean, things are just picking up. On the 17th, I have to go pick up an order of 40 pounds of boneless, skinless chicken breasts that come in one big box. And so I then bring them home. It's the two breasts still together. And so I have to cut them apart, repackage them into separate freezer bags, and get them down into the freezer, which isn't as bad as it sounds, other than it's messy, you know, all that chicken juice and everything. So by the time I'm done, I'll need a shower. But it's worth it because it's, again, 40 pounds for $75. So I get a really, that's like $1.95 a pound, I think. I get a really good deal. So, okay, and then the very next morning, I go get my eye surgery, and then, let's see, then the next day on the 19th, I have to be back in the doctor's office, the eye doctor's office, by 11:15, so that they can do an after-surgery checkup. And I'm not real thrilled about that one either, but that's all right. And then I get the weekend off. I actually don't have anything scheduled for that weekend. Oh, also on the 18th, the day of my first eye surgery, we will celebrate. That will be 2 years since we found our new house. Let me get another drink of water. Okay, now, then on Monday the 23rd, so this is the Monday after the first eye surgery, I will go back in at 12:50 in the afternoon and have the other eye done. And at 12:50 the next day, Tuesday the 24th, 2 days before Thanksgiving, mind you, I have to be back in there for another after surgery check. And then I'm done, supposedly. Now, after some discussion, actually, after my last appointment, I came home and I got to thinking about all the things that the doctor had said, and I realized that he kept talking about, so, Mrs. Glidden, we can correct your eyes to either close-up work or distant work, but we cannot do both. And I said, so what does that mean? And he says, that means you'll have to wear glasses for one or the other. Okay. So in my mind, I'm thinking the logical thing to do would be to whatever it is I do the most of, that would be the thing that I wouldn't want to have to wear glasses for, right? You know, I mean, if I only drive a couple of times a week, wouldn't be a big deal to have to wear glasses for that. And then the more I thought, wait a minute, for close-up work, like working at the computer or reading, which is what he had defined that as, I wouldn't need to wear sunglasses. But for driving, some days I wouldn't need sunglasses, some days I would. So if I have to wear prescription glasses still after the surgery, I'd be better off having him define the difference between close work and distance work. So when I talked to him the other day, I asked him to define that. And you know what was funny? He paused like, I was hoping she wouldn't ask that. I mean, seriously, that was the feeling I got. And he said the way he defined it was, close-up work is the distance from your computer screen to your nose. So I grabbed my tape measure, which is right here, and I measured it, and it's like 14 inches, right? And distance, which, you know, every time he said distant whatever, they could correct it for distance. I kept thinking for driving. I wasn't hearing distance. I was hearing driving. And then the more I thought, that's why I called back and said, I need you to define these two words. Because the more I thought about it, I thought, wait a minute, I'm living in a big house. And, I mean, like, I have two hallways that are more than 15 feet long. And if I am standing at one end of that hallway and there's a body at the other end of the hallway and I can't clearly see who it is without glasses, that's not going to work. And that's exactly what they were saying. So what that means is in both of my eyes now, we decided to correct for distance instead of close-up work. So I definitely will have to wear reading glasses for reading and for computer work. But we're talking over-the-counter, like from Walmart or the local drugstore, reading glasses, not prescription glasses or lenses. At the same time, in order to correct for that vision or for that distance, because my eyes, both of my eyes, have very strong astigmatism, and one eye is 2 degrees worse than the other eye, it means that I will have to have those more expensive lenses put in my eyes. Now, if they were correcting for just reading, I would only need one. Each of these lenses is $1,100. So this is going to be an out-of-pocket expense. The insurance company will not cover. And it's going to be double what we thought it was. But I should be able to see a lot better. I should only have to wear glasses, reading glasses, for reading and working on my computer. So I can handle this, or we can handle this. And my husband's being just a sweetheart about it. I, of course, am a basket case because these are my eyes, and I tend to be a, well, you know, it's, I guess, the Boy Scout leader in me. The Boy Scout motto is be prepared, which means be prepared for anything. So in my mind, be prepared. It only takes one slip, and I could come out of this whole thing blind. And so that way, as long as that doesn't happen, it's a good outcome. So I don't know. We'll see. I may have to have a Valium or something to get through these surgeries. Now, the other thing that he told me is that the reason they're doing the two surgeries so close together, less than a week, not quite a week apart, is because during that period of time, there will be a vast difference between my two eyes. And while I will still have my prescription glasses, it's going to be weird. And it's going to be very challenging to see or to read or, you know, like even reading recipes. And so I've already let my family know Thanksgiving we may have to adjust our expectations as far as menu, because I just don't know. I won't know until probably the 20th or 21st what I will be up to as far as like cooking a turkey or making stuffing. Excuse me. My daughter has said she's willing to do whatever I need her to do, including hosting it at her house. My youngest son popped right up on Facebook as soon as I made this announcement and said, "I can cook, Mom, as long as I can cook at your house." And I came back with, "What can you cook?" "Well, I can pop popcorn. I can make toast." I said, "I don't think we need to adjust our menu to that degree, but thank you, son. That's always good to know." Oh, my gosh. Thank goodness for kids. So let's see. I guess that's, oh, and then, excuse me, then I don't have to go back to the eye doctor for a whole month. Now, I don't know if that's a month from, excuse me, from November 24th, which is, you know, the last checkup after the last surgery, or if it'll be a month from the date of the first surgery. But at any rate, during that month, that whole month, my eyes will be healing. And they're not making any promises on how well I'll be able to see during that month. So I don't know, and I won't know until after the second surgery. Well, I'm not sure if I'll even know after the first surgery. I don't know if I'll be able to do this show because I don't know if I'll be able to read stuff on my computer, like in order to connect in to do the show. I'm going to try, but I can tell you already I have not scheduled the show for Thanksgiving. That falls on a Thursday. I have not scheduled a show for Christmas Eve Day. Traditionally, I don't do shows on those days, and I have not scheduled a show for New Year's Eve Day. So we'll see what happens. If I'm able to do it, I'll do it. And I will somehow or other, if I have to have one of my kids put a notice on Facebook, I will get word to everyone about whether or not there will be a show. But this is going to be a challenge for me. I'm very much a person that likes to be in charge. I don't like surprises. I like to line up all my little tin soldiers and know what's going to happen. And in fact, I'm also not a morning person. Don't expect me to crawl out of bed in the morning and start at a dead run. I kind of, well, very much crawl out of bed in the morning and slowly start my day. It takes me a good half hour before I'm ready to even make my first mug of tea. And then it takes another hour, hour and a half before I'm ready to face food. So I ease into my day. Now, when I'm ready to go to bed at night, it's like drop off the cliff. I'm ready now. So that's completely different. But, this is going to be a challenge for me because it's totally out of my control. There's not a thing I can control about it. So it's going to be a lesson, a learning curve. And that's how I'm choosing to address it. but I wanted to let you all know so you're prepared, and I'll try to keep you updated online, probably on Facebook, either on my personal page or my show page, and we'll go from there. That's about all I can do. The nice thing about this is that when it's all done, if everything goes right, I will regain my independence, and so will my husband. He won't have to be my chauffeur anymore because I'll be able to drive, although I will have to go in and get my driver's license amended that I don't need glasses. So that'll be lovely to be able to drive myself and not have to make my husband act as my chauffeur anymore. But anyway, okay, so where are we? It's 10 o'clock. That should mean, see, chat room's very quiet this morning. I hope that means y'all like what you're hearing. Okay, and I'm looking in the studio or on my switchboard, and it's quiet there too. So this is weird, doing a show with my phone in my hand instead of my headphones. I'm not used to this. So I keep switching the phone from hand to hand as my fingers go numb from being up in the air. Okay. All right. Looks like everything's under control. Let's see. If you have not already friended Jerry Mills on Facebook, I urge you to. Jerry is the one whose music I play on this show, and he's the one that does both our introductory music and our outgoing music. He lives in Michigan on the, well, very close to Lake Superior. And he posts the most gorgeous sunrise pictures from the lake on his Facebook page every once in a while, just to surprise everyone. And in the last couple of weeks, he's done it a couple of times. So he also will post updates about where he is performing at. he's just returned from Europe, was over there for several weeks, and from what I read, he had a blast of a time, had just a wonderful time. And I know he's been there before. In fact, there's some tunnel he goes through, I believe at the airport, that he absolutely raves about every time because it has special lighting in it, and the pictures he has shared are gorgeous. And that's, you know, I mean, that's another reason that it upsets me to miss conferences, because that means I don't get to see Jerry, because that's about the only place I get to see him anymore. And those hugs are special. Okay, so what else did I want to tell you? Gosh, there's just been so much going on. I want to share with you that the last part of this move involved, I had packed nothing, absolutely nothing, at the old house. And I mean literally, not even the stuff in my desk drawers. And our daughter, several weeks in a row, went down, I believe she got there about an hour before her daddy, and she worked her buns off, packing up everything and cleaning up and helping him load stuff into his truck, and then following him home and helping him unload it here. She's also promised me that if I reach a point where I need her to come over and help me unpack and put away and organize stuff, she'll be more than happy to do it. All I have to do is yell. And she has just been an absolute lifesaver. And in between all that, she has baked cookies and taken them to her brother and left them at the house as a surprise for him to come home and find after work. and you know, just been a true blessing. She is planning, as far as I know, on going with me the day of my, at least my first eye surgery. They tell me that there is a room off of the operating room, excuse me, which I'm not sure I should even call it that from what, the way the whole thing is described to me. There's no blood or anything involved. They will put drops in my eyes that will numb everything. There will be some shots into the skin around my eye to further numb it. But, of course, by then I shouldn't feel it, they say. And then the surgery will involve taking a laser and basically shattering the lens on the eye. And then they take, like, the word they used was a vacuum, and clean all of that shattered lens out of there and clean it all up really good and then install the new lens. I mean, it's just that simple, and that's why it takes not even 20 minutes. So anyway, they do have an adjoining room with a big window so that family members, if they wish, can sit and watch all of this. And she wants to watch it. You know, I said to her, my stomach will be just churning. I don't want to watch it. So, but yeah, she's planning to be there at least for the first surgery and watch the whole thing. And if I need her to come home with me to put the eye drops in my eyes, she's willing to do it. So she's just been very special and a total blessing. And I just want to put that out there. What else? It has been kind of fun and kind of interesting to watch how my own ADHD is affecting this moving stuff. Some decisions are, you know, when I'm going through like a box of books and it's like, okay, which ones do I want to keep and which ones is it time to let go of? Sometimes it's real easy to make a snap decision, and sometimes it's really, really hard. And I recognize that that's my ADHD. And so those I put aside. I've got a couple of little stacks of books that it's like, what do I want to do with these? And one stack I know is going to go in my bedside nightstand because that's like my Bible, which I thought was long gone, and no, it's here. So, I mean, it's here now. So I have one small stack that'll go in there, and I've got another one I'm undecided about yet. And what else? It's just funny. It's like for every step forward I take, I've got three steps backwards. Yesterday, I decided I'd move my printer down a couple of feet so that the file cabinet, which is only a true two-drawer file cabinet, could go between my desk and the printer. So, okay, I do that. I go to print something, and oops, now I'm out of ink in my printer. And so it's just funny. I mean, all I can do is throw up my hands and chuckle, because otherwise I'd be crying. But what else? Stacks and stacks and stacks of papers. My daughter said to me, I don't know anybody that saves recipes like you do. Do you have any idea how many packages of paper you have in printed out recipes? Yes, I do. And that's because I have even more on my computer. But the ones that really intrigue me when I find them and I'm transferring them into Word documents, if they're ones that really grab my attention and I think, ooh, that sounds good, I want to try that, I print it out. And eventually I do try it, and if I like it, it gets saved. If I don't, it gets tossed. But it really apparently frustrated her in packing up the office. She said every time I dealt with a stack, it was like, this better be the last one. And I'd turn around, and 10 minutes later, there'd be another one. And it's not like a half-inch stack, Mom. It's like a 5-inch stack. And all I could do was grin at her and say, yeah, and your point is? Chat room. They're actually chatting. Cool. Okay. But I'll give you an example. I had a recipe the other night that had really grabbed my attention. It was from Tyler Florence on the Food Network, and it was for potatoes au gratin. Tried it. Tried one bite. In fact, it was supposed to make enough for 6 people. I cut the recipe in half. Excuse me, and I was very careful doing it, so I know the measurements were right. My husband and I each took one bite, looked at each other, and I said, do you like it? And he's like, you know, the look was like, what do I say? And I said, you know, you don't have to worry about my feelings because I don't like it. I will never make this again. And I won't. And I tore up the recipe and I deleted it off of my computer. But I probably have 4 or 5 other recipes for potatoes au gratin. And I just can't remember which one it is that I've made in the past that I really, really like. So I'm just glad that I didn't make this next week for our guests. Because one night, let's see, they'll come in on Thursday afternoon, and I had planned to make potatoes or make ham that night with potatoes au gratin and some kind of a vegetable or something or a salad, excuse me, and maybe an apple crisp for dessert. And then the second night, Friday night, I'm planning to make beef stew with homemade rolls. And normally when I make beef stew, I cook the potatoes in it. This time I'm thinking of making mashed potatoes and serving the stew over it with additional vegetables in it. Although normally when I make beef stew, I put carrots, onions and garlic, celery, carrots, potatoes, parsnips. Sometimes I will put turnips in it. Just, you know, whatever looks good that I think my husband will eat. And he's actually pretty good. The only time he kind of raises his eyebrows is when I try to sneak in baby spinach or chard, which I love both of. And actually, if I chop it fine enough, I can sneak baby spinach into quiche, and he will eat it thinking that it's herbs. But yeah, so that's my plan. And so I'm going to have to, between now and then, either amend my plan and instead of au gratin potatoes, serve something else, or find the one recipe that I know, which I think is a Barefoot Contessa recipe, that I know will turn out well. I've never tried one of her recipes and not had it turn out well. And I, seriously, she is my favorite chef. So I've tried a lot of her recipes, and they always turn out absolutely beautifully. I don't care if it's muffins or what. It just, the recipes are easy to follow, and they're delicious. And they usually are beautiful, however they turn out. But, okay, so let's see. What else did I want to... Let me grab my calendar again. What else did I want to tell you all about? Not that. Oh, so... next week, I don't know if I will be doing a show since that's the day that my guests arrive. The only thing I can say is I will send out an announcement whether or not I am doing one. And the week after that is the week of surgery. So again, at this point, I don't know. I will know more the day before the show, but I'm thinking that's so close, that's like 2 mornings after my surgery on my first eye, I doubt if I will do a show on the 19th. Excuse me. On the 26th, this Thanksgiving, I wasn't planning to do a show anyway, which is a shame because that's 4 days after my second surgery. By then, I would think if I could do one, I could do it, but not on a holiday because I don't want your attention distracted to me that when it should be on your family, and vice versa. I want mine on my family too. So I don't know. I may be kind of in and out of things here for a while. But hopefully after Thanksgiving, things will calm down a little bit and get back to normal. And I mean like normal from before my eyes started getting all hazy and it became difficult to see. I don't know. It's funny. The doctor said to me, "So I imagine you can't read without your glasses on." And I said, "Oh, most definitely I can. I do it every night when I go to bed." "Really?" I said, "But I don't read a book, not in a book form. I read it off of my Kindle app on my cell phone, where I can adjust the size of the font to whatever I need." "Oh, that's good thinking. So I may be able to read a little bit." I mean, he doesn't realize that I've adjusted the size of the font on my computer too. In fact, I was kind of joking the other day with my husband and said, "Yeah, after the surgery and my eyes settle back down and everything returns to, you know, normal before all of this stuff cropped up, I've got to go back into my computer and figure out where it was that I found the place to adjust all the handicapped awareness stuff." Because I have, I've got this one game. It used to be I would have to, it involves feeding pets, right? It's a computer game. And it used to be one click and you could feed the pets. Well, after I adjusted for my vision, oh, no, it's much more involved. It's like 5 clicks and the pet is now fed. And, of course, once the surgery is over and things return to normal, I want to go back to the easy way, and it's just going to be a matter of, so where the heck did I find that adjustment that I made? So it could be interesting, could be funny, could be an exercise in frustration. what else? Gosh. I don't know. It's my husband has been this last week or two especially sweet too. He has carted boxes in and out, heavy boxes, in and out of my office. He came in here one day and he said, "What are these boxes?" Three big boxes. They're all wine. None of them full. Although one I think was pretty darn close to full. But he repacked them down and got them down. No, I guess it was four boxes. Got them down to 2.5. And of course, I promptly last night ordered 6 more bottles. But there's a winery, and oh gosh, I think it's in California. One of the first bottles of wine I bought from this company called Naked Wines was what we called, when we were in Germany, an ice wine. And basically what it is they wait until the first frost and then very quickly, like in less than 24 hours, pick all of the grapes and process them so that they get, because of the first frost, that pulls the sugar, really pulls the sugar to the surface of the grapes, and you get a really sweet wine. Well, that was one of the first ones I tried when I first discovered this company, and I absolutely loved it. It was, I don't know, it just, I mean, it wasn't, didn't, it was a smaller than normal size bottle of wine, about the size of, say, a bottle of Coca-Cola, maybe just a hair bigger. It was inexpensive, under $10, and I promptly went back to the website to order more, and guess what? Just that quick, they were out of it. And I thought, well, that's okay. It was good enough. I'll just mark my calendar, and next year I'll be Johnny on the spot, and I'll order a whole case. Well, a year later, there still has not been an announcement of more, and so a couple weeks ago, I sent a message through the wine company's email system to the winemaker and asked him if he was planning to make any this year, and it turns out he responded back yesterday and said no, that there were too many complaints that it was too sweet. And I sent one back to him that said, "I'm brokenhearted. They just have no discriminating taste. If they had ever been in Germany, they would know that this was an excellent wine." But so consequently, last night, when somebody was raving about a red wine that is exceptionally sweet, like bordering on a port, I thought, okay, I learned my lesson, and I went online and ordered, I think, 5 bottles of it. And so that should be arriving probably tomorrow. But I mean, talk about ADHD impulsivity. I don't normally even like red wine, but we'll see what happens, I hope. If I don't like it, I've got great Christmas gifts to give. Not sure whom to, but we'll see. But anyway, so I'm making progress on the house. My bookcase is about two-thirds full. haven't started on the file cabinet. I told my husband, I'm not real good at switching hats on the drop of a, you know, kerchief. So let me either fill the bookcase or fill the file cabinet, but I can't keep switching back and forth from one to the other. In the process, I'm discovering all kinds of treasures. All of my magnetic jewelry that I found several years ago at a car show we went to, a jeweler who makes magnetic jewelry. And he made me matching bracelets and necklaces. And I want to say there's like 4 different sets. Well, when we moved, they disappeared. And apparently I had, in my wiseness, decided that the best place to put them to keep them from being lost was in my desk. So when my daughter cleaned out my desk, she said, "Oh, Mom's going to be so excited." And I was, and I am. But so that's just one of the treasures I have found, and it seems like every day I find another one. So where am I at here? Let's look in the studio. Okay, I need to close out today's show. So I thank you all for, I'm almost out of time. I thank you all for coming and listening. I apologize that I didn't talk more about just straightforward ADHD, but let me tell you, it's been interspersed through all of this. And life has been kind of crazy for the last week or two. Hopefully, once the surgeries are over, things will settle down and return to normal. And by then, I'll have new headphones. But I thank you all for coming and listening this week. I hope to be back next week. And we're going to go out listening to Jerry Mills singing The Real You. Have a great week, everyone.
Who knows the real you, that's how it's